The following audio is from New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.
With you this morning, turn with me in the Old Testament to the book of Exodus. It is the second book of the Old Testament, Genesis and then Exodus. So it should be pretty easy to get to. We're going to look at Exodus, the 14th chapter. The 5th through the 10th verse. And as I read this, I want you to recall in your mind a subject that I would like to talk about this morning. And as I read this, that subject would be out of my Egypt. Out of my Egypt. It may not make sense to you right now, but I pray that God would make sense to you before we're finished. And the word of God reads, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants were turned against the people. And they said, 'We have done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us.' And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high mind. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. Besides Pharaoh, before Bethlehem. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord." If you all kind of remember a little bit about the history of how Israel wound up in Egypt, they were not originally in Egypt. There was a time before Moses that there was a person or there was a family that was led by Isaac. They were going toward the promised land. And in their going toward the promised land, during one season, they set in a famine in the earth. Well, there was one of the families of the members who was a member of Isaac's family, one of his sons, and I'm not going to go through a story how he got to Egypt. But one of his sons wound up in Egypt because of some things that happened. And understand, when you look at, if I was to go into you about the story of how he wound up in Egypt, it would make you wonder. But God allows things to happen for a reason and for a purpose. He has a purpose and a reason in everything that he does in our life. Joseph wound up in Egypt. He was a slave in Egypt. But he went from a slave to a position of, I guess you might refer to as vice president. He went basically from what they would call the outhouse to the White House. And it was a servant of the king of Egypt. And they recognized him because of his abilities that God had given him. And so through the recognition of Joseph, and he realized that through the king, Pharaoh at that particular time, who honored him and put him in that position, when his family who was out there caught up in the famine, and Isaac, his father, was out there with the famine going on without food, Isaac sent a couple of Joseph's brothers to them, and they were talking to the brothers about acquiring some of the wheat and some of the food from Egypt that his brother was over. They didn't know that Joseph was his brother at that time. They didn't even remember that it had been so long since they had last seen him. As a matter of fact, they thought he was probably dead because of what they had done. But again, I say, sometimes some people mean, even cult people mean evil for you, and God means it for good. Because through the the simple act of what they had done to Joseph, he wound up being their salvation by providing food for the family in Egypt. And when he found out, when the Egypt's brother and his father found out that Joseph was in a high position in Egypt, they were welcomed into Egypt. And the king of Egypt welcomed them in. But then after a period of time, there arose a problem. You see, because the king died and Joseph died, and there arose another king who didn't know Joseph. There was arose another king, another Pharaoh, who didn't know about Joseph's God. So we kind of get into the setting of the story where we are right now. And I use the title of the subject, Out of My Egypt, because it was a lifestyle that happened in Egypt with the prosperity of the Israelites in Egypt at that particular time. They were so prosperous. They were growing so fast. They were just about taking over Egypt. And Pharaoh, who was the Pharaoh at that time when they began to grow, was warned that if we let these people grow, if we let these people go, they're going to take over our country. And so this Pharaoh decided to enslave the Egyptians. And through the enslavement that they had, they built the pyramids, they built the buildings, they built off of their own backs. And if they were forced to labor and forced to work and to build against their will. And they fed them just a little bit. They give them just a little bit. And then at some point in time, they cut off from children being born in Egypt. I really ain't going that long story. But they cut that off. And so the people began to cry out to God for mercy, being crying out to God for deliverance from Egypt. I want to relate that part to Out of My Egypt. Crying out to God for deliverance. Crying out to God for salvation. Crying out to God for the condition that they were in. And I want to ask you, but I'll refer to this as your Egypt. What was your Egypt? What was the time when you were caught up in the world, just like these people were caught up in Egypt? They were caught up in the world. They didn't just really want to be there, but they found a good time there. And there was a time in your life when you got caught up in the world, you didn't just really just want to be there, but you found a good time there. Remember those days? When you found a good time wherever it was, which hanging out with you know, the guys and hanging out with the girls, you know, doing whatever you want to do, you were having a good time in your life at that particular time. Doing what you want to do, when you wanted to do it, how you wanted to do it. Good time. Looking forward to when you didn't have to work anymore for the rest of the week so you can get with your buddies and have a good time. Well, Israel was having a good time in Egypt until they became slaves. You see, some of the things that we were doing out there in our Egypt, you were having a good time until we got hooked. You were looking forward to that. And you just couldn't get away from that. It just became your life. And in the process of doing all that, you found yourself doing some things that you would never do. Not ordinarily would you do. With your buddies, with your friends. Your mama didn't teach you like that, okay? Yeah. You didn't learn that from the church. You know, that's when you did go, you know, but you were out there, call yourself having a good time and your friends are doing things that you said, well, no, I wasn't taught to do that, you know, but these are your friends. These are the ones, the buddies you hung with and they influenced you. They what they call peer pressure. You know, if you're going to hang with us, you're going to do what we do. Yeah. And you call yourself, so you became captivated. You became a prisoner of your peers. Doing whatever they're doing, just because you said them having a good time, having a smile on their face, whatever they get through, whenever they get through doing what they were doing, how many of your friends had hangovers the day after? How many times you found yourself in a bed with somebody you didn't even know you picked up the night before? How many times you found yourself in a bed you didn't know they picked you up the night before? How many times probably you were out there and being a prisoner of your lifestyle in your Egypt of your lifestyle where you don't even know how you get home the next day? You don't remember even going home. I mean, you were so involved and so captured, so captivated by the lifestyle that you were in, that sometimes you don't remember nothing. And you just thank God that you made it home. Out of your Egypt. Out of your Egypt. Out of my Egypt. I thank God that I didn't experience too much of that in my lifetime. But I call how many times that, you know, we went to the club. And we say, we're going to close this place down. You know, we're going to stay here until it closes. 2 o'clock in the morning. Last call for alcohol. I remember that singing. Last call, the last call singing. That was the activity that captivated the world. And we were citizens of that prison. That was our Egypt. We were bound. We were stuck in that. We thought that was life. Life was all about. But you know, a lot of things that came along with that, that we really didn't want. And regardless of what you didn't want, it came along with the territory. So we were captured in our Egypt. We were stuck in our Egypt. And sometimes during those hours when we were. Oh, our head were hurting from the hangovers and different things we were going through. We were lying in bed and we said, oh Lord, why did I do that? You know, oh Lord, why did I hang out so late with those folks? And why did I get out of what I got out to do? You know, because I didn't intend to get to a headache like this. You know, I didn't intend to be wanting to throw up like this. And every time you call Ralph, you call God. Just as Israel cried out to God in the Egypt that they were in, and asking for mercy, asking for deliverance, asking for a rescue where they were in. God heard their cry. God heard their call. And you know what God did? God sent Moses. I've got a grandson over there who don't even know a thing about what I'm talking about right now. He don't have an inkling of what's in store for him in a few more years. He doesn't know. But if he would just take a little bit about the history of what happened in the lives of his mama and his daddy, if he would take a little bit of history about the thing that's trying to tell him, now I know what I'm talking about because I lived it, you know. And you can avoid a lot of things that I went through if you just listen to me, you know. A wise man will listen to those who have experienced those times and pay attention and escape them. But a fool will have to learn it on his own. And it will not be easy. So they were in Egypt. They were calling out to God. There was a time in your life, in your Egypt, when you called out to God. You didn't really know him at that time. You may have gone to church, you know, sometimes, or whatever case may be. You may have gone, you may have had relatives who were all off in the church, and you went every now and then, but you really wasn't. You wasn't in the Bible. You wasn't. Only thing you knew about God is when you got in trouble. That's when you got on your knees. That's when you prayed. Other than that, when you got relief, you went right back to doing what you were doing. You were in your Egypt. You were captivated. You were being held captive. So these people were being held captive, the Israelites were. Your past life, we all have one. You know, be careful. Our past lives have a tendency to pursue us like the people, like Pharaoh and his army pursued Israel when they were able to be delivered from Egypt. God sent Moses. And Moses went to Pharaoh. God told Moses to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. God sent somebody for us. Do you know who he was? God sent Jesus Christ for us, who died on the cross for our sins. And the cry that you should have heard as you had got down on your knees and asked for deliverance is Christ saying, hold not this sin to that charge. As he gave up the ghost and died for every one of us. Every one of us. He didn't have to, see, because Christ was the one that was clubbing, okay? Christ wasn't the one to wake up in somebody's bed, didn't know who they were the next morning. It wasn't him. But everything we did wrong against God, every sin we transgressed against God in, Christ took it upon himself on the cross. Do you know when he tasted what we did? Do you know when he tasted what I did? Do you know when he tasted what you did? It was at one point in time when he was hanging on that cross that he felt like God had left him. He had never, in the whole 33 years of his time here on earth, made the statement that he made on the cross. My God, hast thou forsaken me? He was tasting, it is said that he was tasting every sin we ever committed in our lives. And his God, his Father, is a holy God. He does not sin. He does not have anything to connect him with sin. And when Christ was tasting my sins and your sins on the cross as he died for us, God withdrew himself from his Son momentarily. And he felt it. He felt his absence. The greatest thing, the greatest fear of our lives that we should fear more than anything at all is that God should depart from us. And we feel his absence. You know that EJ and everybody else that's on this line, I'm going to keep your name on my tongue. Everybody else on this line, you have your peace that you have in your life right now. You have the ability to walk in and out and do different things in your life now because of Christ. It's not because of the power that you have. It's not because you're so healthy and you can get up in the morning, or you're so young or whatever the case may be. It's not because of you. It's because of him. Because there's a Pharaoh out there. I'm not talking about this Pharaoh. I'm talking about another Pharaoh. We don't know him by the name of Pharaoh. We know him by another name. We call him Satan. He's real. You don't see him, and you probably don't feel him, but I tell you what, he entered your mind. Who do you think taught you how to lie? Who do you think taught you how to be tricky and try to get away with things that you know you should not do? Who do you think taught you? It wasn't your mama. I'm sure she didn't do that. Are they trying their best to get it out of your head? It wasn't your daddy. And we guess what? What you going through, young man? We all went through. I'm telling you, everybody on this line went through what you're going through right now. And one of the things we realized, we understand that we were going through what you're going through right now, we thought they was those people who were trying to tell us the right thing were old fogey. They didn't know nothing. You know? Y'all don't know what y'all talking about. That is an interesting thing that Satan does to blind you to the facts and to the truth of what's going on and what's happening. Because your daddy went through that when he was with me, about your age. And he even got by with some things I'm just not finding out about. And your daddy is determined to not let you get back with about with some things that he won't know about 10 years from now. But he's not God. You're going to slip on some things that he's not going to pick up till later. But I just want to remind everybody on this line how that when you were living your lifestyle and doing your thing, you didn't know God. You were in Egypt. All the stuff you were going through, you were in your Egypt. And the reason why I want to emphasize and say you were in your Egypt, because do you know what you were on your way to? Do you know the road you were on? In the direction of the final destination of the road that you were on, the final destination was not heaven. It wasn't. And I don't care what they say in other religions, it was not purgatory. There was only two places, heaven or hell. And you were not on the road to heaven at that time. So thank God and glory to God for his Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, for my sins, for your sins, that gave us an opportunity to get on the right road. Now that you're on the right road, as Pharaoh was pursuing Egypt after they got out of, Pharaoh was pursuing Israel after they got out of Egypt, Satan is pursuing you right now. He's not satisfied because you got away. Pharaoh wasn't satisfied with Egypt leaving, with Israel leaving Egypt. They had gotten away. So he brought his army. He brought the best of his army. He brought the best of his troops to pursue. And he wasn't just running after them, but he was wanting to capture them and bring them back to where they were.
And I want to say this about everybody that's here on this line. Satan is after you right now. He's mad because you got out. He's mad because you accepted Christ. He's mad because you're on the right road now. He's mad about that. And he's on your trail right now. Right now. He's on your trail on your job. He's on your trail in your family. He's on your trail with your friends. He's on your trail with the relationship that you have with your spouses. He is on your trail. And he wants to capture you and bring you back. Can you imagine? If you ever got back in a situation that you were in, can you imagine what life would be about? You think you're having a hard time now, whatever situation you're in. You think it's rough now. You know, you think you're not being done right now. Get up, get back to where you came from after you got out. It's a whole other story. They tell me in AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, they have here this program for people who have been alcoholics or addicts, that it's hard. Once you fall off the wagon, you go sober and you stop drinking or you stop drugging and you start cleaning up. You know, you've been on that road for a couple of years. You've been on that road for 10 years. But if you ever fall off that wagon one time, you ever go back one time doing what you were doing, it's going to be hard for you to get back to where you were. And basically, you got to start all over again. That's what your Pharaoh wants to do to you. Your Pharaoh is Satan. That's what he wants to do to you. And sometimes we are so gullible. Sometimes we are so lackadaisious. Sometimes we don't pray that God will keep us on the right road. Sometimes we don't pay attention to his word. Sometimes we let our feelings rule us. Sometimes we let what we think rule us. We don't even go and ask God about anything. We just do what comes to our mind, or do what comes to our heart. And before you know it, we're going to wind up in trouble. That's what Satan wants to do. You don't. Satan doesn't come to here, come into your bedroom, into your living room, into your house, and you don't see him. You don't see him. But I tell you what, he will get in your heart and get in your mind, and he will talk like a, well, I won't even say what. you feel that blank out. You feel that blank out. But God will keep you if you allow him to. God will help you if you allow him to. You see, we so much want to be like that old us sometimes. You know, wherever we came from, whether it was the ghetto hood, or Wall Street or whatever it was, wherever we came from, we say, you know, no, you can't do this to me. You ain't going to treat me like this, you know. We're gonna use that old person to go back to where we were. I got a reputation. No, you don't. You think you do. Satan's got a reputation. And that's what he wants to hang over your head. And that's what he wants to use to rouse you up. He wants to bring you back into his Egypt. He's in hot pursuit right now. So remember that. Remember that. Whenever your head wants to get bent out of shape, And you do something that you probably be sorry for doing or regretting doing. Remember that Satan is in pursuit right now. And he wants you right now. And I know we have the poster. I love this. I saw my grandson's little poster that he made up. Uncle Sam wants you, using that thing. Satan wants you just like that. And he wants you. He don't care about what you think about yourself. Us, you know, some of us on here are really cute and handsome and all that kind of, he don't care about that. He'll use all that to clog our mind up, to make us think we're better and more than what we think we ought to think. But Satan will use everything. He will throw the dishwater, the baby, the kitchen sink and everything, try to get you back in Egypt, in your Egypt. So don't get caught up in your Egypt. Remember where you came from. Never forget how you were when you were there. Never forget how much you needed God to rescue you, to deliver you. Never forget that you needed Christ in your life for eternal life. Never forget that you were on your way to hell. Never forget, and that you don't want to get back on that same road again. Never forget. Never forget. When they bombed the Trade Center
The plane came in, I understand, on that particular September 11th morning. I was at my job, getting ready to go to eat my breakfast at the cafeteria, walk down the hall. And as soon as I entered the door, I saw the first tower burning and looked like a movie. And then I was there when the second plane hit the second tower, and all I could do was freeze. During that time, we all sat there in the cafeteria, and people began to come into the cafeteria as many minutes could get in there and started witnessing what was happening. President Bush came online. And one of the statements that he made was, never forget. Never forget. Never forget. Because the moment you forget, guess what? It's subject to happen again. We don't want to find ourselves in that situation. Because in this life, as a Christian, just as the Israelites did, as they were being pursued by the Egyptians, Pharaoh and his army, God was protecting them. In your life right now, stay with God. I don't care what goes on. I don't care how it happened. I don't care what he or she or she or they. I don't care what they said, what they do. Stay with God. He's your only protection. Just as he was a protection for Israel going through the desert, as Egypt was pursuing them, he said they could have caught up with them. They had the best of the military. They had the best of the chariots. They had the best of the army. They could have caught up with those people. They didn't have anything. Nothing at all. On their feet, with little wet buggies and wagons trying to make it away from the Egyptians. Nothing. You don't have anything. You have no defense against Satan. None. You might think you do. You might think he's smart, but Satan is smarter than you. You might think you're strong and powerful, but he's more strong and powerful than everybody on this line put together. Okay? So why is that? Satan was an archangel in heaven before he was casted out with a whole lot of power. He was not just an angel. You've heard of Michael, the angel in heaven. You've heard of Gabriel, an angel in heaven, how powerful Michael was coined as the war angel. Nobody could conquer him. That was his duty. Gabriel was coined as a messenger angel. But one angel could take on the whole world, okay? One. And it tells me that in the Bible, when you read about in the book of Ezekiel, and read about the other angel, and I refer to him as the other angel, there was Michael, there was Gabriel, and then there was the other angel, all three. The other angel's name was in heaven, his name was Lucifer. You've heard that title on the movies and different TV series, things like that, but that was his real name in heaven. But God used Michael to cast him out of heaven. And let me tell you something. And it happens a lot. When he was in heaven, he had convinced about a third part of the angels in heaven to be on his side, to be in his army with him, as he wanted to war against God, to make his throne above the throne of God. So when he was thrown out, he reached back. The Bible says he reached back and took a third part of heaven with him. You never see them physically. You never see them. But they're working people. You never see them, but they'll work in your mind. You never see them, but they'll work in your heart. And if it was left up to the devil, we would be consumed right here, right now. But even sinners are being protected by the power of God. See, Satan, in one part of the scripture, is called the prince and the power of the air. Can you imagine that? The prince and the power of the air? We got planes flying in and back and forth in the air. What's keeping them there from crashing? What's keeping them there from exploding? Just simultaneously, whatever. What's keeping them alive? All those people up there. The power of God. The mercy of God. Even though a lot of those folks don't even know God. But Satan's in hot pursuit. and on your way of keeping away from Satan and running from what he tries to do to each and every one of us, and hot pursuit of every one of us, we're going to run into our Red Sea. You see, and as I finish, I wanted to tell you about this Red Sea. Israel was running from Pharaoh and his army. Israel was on their way to trying to get on the way to the promised land. Moses was leading them. Moses was being led by God. And then they ran to the Red Sea. They ran to a roadblock. How am I going to get across this big old sea to the other side to keep on running from Pharaoh and his army? You're going to run into, and some of us have already run into, a Red Sea, a blockage on your way to heaven. Something gets in your way on your way to heaven. Something gets in your way. Now, what the people of Israel did, they started complaining. They started getting mad at Moses. God would need Moses. And they started getting mad at Moses because, now you took us out of Egypt, a place where at least we had food, a place where we were at least alive, and you took us out of Egypt and brought us here to die. How many people do you know, have you ever heard in the church just complain almost every time they go? Complain about all the building, complain about the preacher, complain about the brother or the sister, complain about something, just something to complain about. I have to say that I know people who are sinners. I mean, really sinners, bornos or whatever case they be, who don't complain about much about God as folks in the church do. But when you reach your Red Sea, it's not time to complain. It's not, but they complain. God heard their complaint. Moses heard their complaint. And as they reached their Red Sea, you know, a lot of times when the pastors got members and they get to a point in the church where they get, I don't see how I can go. I don't see what we're going to do. I don't see how we can make this. Moses went to God. The pastor has to go to God. He has to go to God because you have lost faith in everything that's going on, the vision, everything. Okay? And it happens. And when the pastor goes to God, and God gives him our direction, I tell you, miracles happen. Miracles happen. And the people, they saw the sea and the Red Sea parting in their lives, in their time, in that setting. You see, you heard about the story of Moses stretching out his rod across, his cane or rod across the waters in the Red Sea parted. Even though Pharaoh and his army was still after them, they saw the waters part and the bottom of the ocean dry so they could walk across dry land. A miracle. During the season of COVID, God kept you. Many, they say over 670,000 people in this country alone have been affected by COVID. I don't know. No, it's been more than that have been affected. I think that's many has died. Over 670,000 people in this country have died. That was as of the last count. And I'm sure people are dying every day. But you're here. You are alive. You are here. And a lot of people are complaining about COVID and complaining about this and complaining about that. I know we probably lost loved ones. But God left you here. You're here. And God has a purpose for you being here. God has a reason for you being here. A purpose. And a reason. So when we get to our Red Sea with COVID, and we get to our Red Sea with things going on around us, and God reaches across, God has the leader that reaches across, and God reaches across the Red Sea, and it parts on both sides. Even though you've been pursued by your past life, you've been pursued by your enemy, you've been pursued by the things you used to do, the way you used to live, and all this kind of stuff. We all know that. We all had a past life. We all did whatever we did. We all know that God wasn't pleased with our past life. But you've been pursued to go back to your past. Satan is making it look good to you. Satan is making it, oh, child, you know what you used to do. You know how good that was. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. All the things that God has prepared for them that love him. All the stuff that we thought we were doing good, and that we thought we were having a great time in, God has prepared something that's greater than that. Ears have not heard, eyes have not seen, but God has prepared to them that love him. That's where I'm going. You know, you go back to Egypt if you want to. You can go back tomorrow, you know, but I'm on my way in a different direction. I'm going across the Red Sea. I'm on my way to the promised land. And I wish you were too. So I'm basically saying that to encourage you. I don't care how hard it gets. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. I'm going to the promised land. I'm going to the place where God has prepared me. I'm going to the place where the house that I mentioned that is built hasn't been built with hands. I'm going to the gift that God has given me that man can't take away. And when you reach your Red Sea, cross over with Jordan, because behind, after you cross your Red Sea, after God will destroy your enemy. It's like he destroyed Pharaoh. He will destroy. You see, there's a place that God has made for the devil and his angels that they will be destroyed eternally. They will not be able to pursue. Their spirits will not be able to get out or do anything. They will be, I say, over and done forever. In the meantime, my brothers and my sisters, in the meantime, while we're here, never forget that you're not alone. Never forget that God is not with you. Never forget that you can go to your knees and ask God to help you, save you, keep you, be with you. No matter how hard it gets. You know, some of the things in the Word of God doesn't make sense to us sometimes. You know, when it starts getting hard and things start going backwards and things start going wrong, the Word of God tells us to stand still. Our bodies and our minds tell us, no, you fight. God says, no, stand still and let me have your battle. Because I can take care of the situation better than you ever thought you could. Stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. And in closing, my brothers and sisters, please remember the commission that God has given every one of us on this line. You've experienced some of the blessings of God. You've experienced the salvation of God. You know what God has done to your life, how he has changed, because you know that you're not the same person you were yesterday. You know you're not. You know it's not about you. You don't have the power to change. But God helps you every day. Sometimes God closes your mouth. Sometimes God makes you say, I'm sorry, when you don't want to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes God make you say, please, when you don't want to say, please. Sometimes God makes you say, forgive me, when you don't want to say, forgive me. Sometimes the Lord, I'm not talking about your conscience talking to you. I'm talking about the Spirit of God talking to you. You know, you might fuss at somebody. You might fuss at your husband or fuss at your wife. Well, man, say something, you know, for a spur of a minute, you go back and you on the pillow talk, baby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. I didn't mean to do that. So that's God working. When you can't go back and tell your spouse, I'm sorry, I forgive me, I didn't mean that, you better check yourself. God means for that to work. Okay. So may God bless you this today as we close this message for now. Remember God's promises. He promised to be with you, to never leave you, and even if you've been pursued by your Pharaoh, even if you have left your Egypt and you have been pursued, God is with you. You have the power on your side. I'm not going to be like Star Wars and say, may the force be with you, but you have something greater than that. Much greater than that. May God bless you. Let us pray.
Thank you for tuning in to New Generation Worship Center. For more information, please visit www.ngworshipcenter.org.